Urban 75 Radio.
We're back to Fat Hamster's Kitchen in a second for some more discussion on drugs. But first, here's Rob Sharples with Goodwill. We like him, we do.
Goodwill and God's are just one and the same. I don't know what's perturbing, disturbing, polluted, recycled.
This is Urban 75 Radio, broadcasting to you from a sunny kitchen in Bristol, the Wild West. It's a view from the Wild West, and in order to expand that viewpoint, we are about to take two drugs live on air for you. The first drug that we're taking is traditional British tea, made with organic tea and organic soy milk. And, Bristol, what are the effects you're getting from this?
I'm feeling quite stoned.
Quite stoned?
It's kind of chilled me out.
Excellent.
I don't really have a care in the world.
Excellent, that's good. Good feeling. Hammy, how are you doing? Yeah. Yeah, man.
Tea.
But the other drug is slightly more unusual. And it's called Carver-Carver. And one of the things, the way I first found Urban 75 is through the drug discussion board, drugs being a thing that I'm very interested in. And Carver-Carver is the root of a Polynesian plant, and it's a very mild relaxant, technically known as an anxiolytic, reducing anxiety, so very good for reducing that broadcast fear. And I'm currently squeezing in cold water a woman's stocking tight gussets filled with Carver-Carver root powder, which is really appetising.
It looks
really nice, isn't it?
Wonderful.
And I'm not a pusher, so I'm not going to insist anyone else joins me on this one, but I just really like it because it relaxes me and helps me get a good night's sleep. And also, it's used in Fiji and various other places for discussions, for resolving conflicts, and finding the words for songs. So if you want to break out into song at any point, Hammy, just join in. And Asgard, the dog, will not be taking any. So there we go. I've squeezed my gussets. They were clean, new gussets, I'd like to point out. And I'm now just going to take a bit of a bowlful.
Does it have to be a bowl?
Well,
is it traditional?
It's traditional to have half a coconut shell, but North Bristol is a bit slack on half coconut shell suppliers.
They're doing 2-for-1 at Scoopaway at the moment.
Excellent. So, and for some reason, there's a tradition of clapping your hands over the bowl. So, excuse the recording levels, but there we go. I think it gets rid of bad spirits or invites the good spirits in. Who knows? And I'm just going to drink it down.
Chin chin.
Ah, and it really does taste nasty. So I'm just going to pour out a bowl for Hanny. Would you like a little bit?
Yes, please. Yes.
There we go. Which is a good place to start a discussion about drugs. As I say, the drugs board on
Cheers,
Urban
Wolf.
75. Cheers. Was how I first came across Urban 75 as an online community, and I was very impressed that people were up there discussing their drug use, their drug problems, and helping each other. And it seems to me that that is at the heart of Urban 75, that sense of people honestly fessing up, saying what works for them, obviously having a laugh, but also actually saying, well, I had a bit of a problem with this, with alcohol, with cigarettes, with addictive opiates and all the rest of it. The whole slew of different types of drugs are up there. And for me, it's a very precious space where people can discuss things like this honestly and openly.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you'd like to tell me about that, Hammy. You would like to fess up to your drug use.
It's... my drug use, he springs these questions on me.
That's my job.
Pretty minimal, to be honest, these days. I've tried pretty well everything in the distant past. Tripped myself out so far I couldn't come back for a few years and spent 20 years or so not doing anything at all. So it's been fascinating to come back and find this very caring, open culture on Urban 75 on the drugs board. I mean, I'm the one here who actually did come to Urban 75 because of the paddock stuff.
Right.
Again, I was aware of the boards.
This is the, just for listeners who don't know, this is the Commander Paddock, was the commander of the Lambeth Police Department, and he wrote on Urban 75 that he had some sympathy with anarchism as a philosophy.
Yeah,
and he got
completely
slammed in the tabloids, didn't he?
Well, it didn't help that he was gay.
Yeah, it didn't help that he was gay and wasn't arresting cannabis users.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was a real perfect little Urban 75 publicity stunt. Not that it was done as a stunt at all.
Not at all.
But it really did show up what Urban 75 was about.
It did, because the support that he got, not only because of Urban 75 people, but I know there was a lot of organising in the Brixton Forum at that time, a lot of organising of protests. I mean, the support for a policeman from the people of Brixton was unheard of. It was bizarre, even. Whether it was a portent of other things to come, I don't know. But it was fascinating, and it sort of filtered into my world at a stage where I was really worried about us losing our beat police around the flats where I live, because they're the sort of police that you actually want, that know what's going on and will tell you what's what and aren't out to nick you for a joint or anything, but do a lot of good, in my opinion.
Right, so
that's very different from... I became very interested in that and was able to debate with people on the Brixton board about policing and how you kind of support your local police without taking the whole thing on board.
Right. So again,
a lot
we come
of pragmatic
up against that.
What sits here as well.
Pragmatic.
Yes.
I was just going to say, here is Hanny basically saying, no, there are some police that I really like. There's some of their functions that are essential in society. What do you reckon, Bristol? Get rid of them all?
Well, I don't think they're a particularly effective way of policing communities, because they're policing without consent in most instances. I mean, my personal experience of the police in St Paul's, where I live, is that they don't understand the area and they don't really have a positive impact on it. Where the street where I live, there was a very long established crack house and brothel where 24 hours a day people would be coming to the phone box at the end of the road, phoning up to check that they're there, and then going to the crack house to get their drugs, and then leaving. And I'd seen numerous police cars pull up, police go in between a queue of junkies queuing up for their fix, and then coming out on their own. And when people in the local community see the police not doing anything about something as blatant as that, and clearly being aware that it's there because they're visiting it, it doesn't really bode well for...
Let me get this straight. The police are visiting a crack house and brothel.
Yeah, and seemingly never arresting anyone.
Are they buying?
Well, I mean, I'm sure some people would suggest that they're quite happy for the crack houses to be left in one small area where they can contain it.
Right.
That over the last few years we've had Operation Atrium... supposedly aimed at ending drug crime in the inner city in Bristol.
Right. Operation Atrium.
Yeah, they're very big on their Latinate operation names, which was a long period of surveillance along the Grosvenor Road, which has got a reputation for being where you would buy drugs off the street. And then
no, I wouldn't. I never did.
Unless you want OXO cubes or sage leaves, yeah.
Right.
But it did have a reputation as being a place where crack dealers and at the lowest level will congregate, and local people that wanted to buy crack or heroin would come to St Paul's to buy their drugs off of street dealers or in dealers' houses. And after the surveillance period of Operation Atrium, the police started patrolling in force throughout St Paul's all the time, when previously there were no patrols along St Paul's, and the only time you would see a police car would be on a 999 call.
Right.
And from no presence at all, they started patrolling in
swamp.
Yeah, in swamp style tactics, wearing full body armour, carrying carbine semi-automatic rifles. Stomping around the place, looking like an army of occupation.
They had some signs. I remember coming upon them one time, and they had properly painted reflective signs saying "drug dealers being arrested."
Yeah,
which they put out. happened to be in St Paul's at one point when they were sort of blocking the street, standing there with their machine guns and arresting drug dealers.
I like that thing you're saying about an army of occupation, as opposed to what Hemi was saying about beat officers doing kind of low-level kind of looking after people.
Yes, and I've lived in St Paul's and I'm forgetting, and I'm feeling quite kind of shocked to be reminded of the gulf. I mean, we're 5 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
I'm in a sort of mainly white working-class area that grades into an extremely posh area at the top of the hill and homeless hostels. Then you've got a road, and then you've got St Paul's, and it's just very, very different.
And it's also something to consider that it's 25 years since the St Paul's riot,
yes,
which predated the Brixton riot by a year, which shows that once again Bristol and South West is far superior to Brixton.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. If you want a riot, you get it quicker in Bristol.
Yeah, but it was all over a can of Red Stripe as well.
Was it?
Yeah. The police were supposedly looking to arrest weed dealers along Grosvenor Road.
Mm-hmm.
And as they went into the Black and White Cafe, which is quite a famous symbol of the Grosvenor Road area of St Paul's, they discovered Red Stripe lager being sold in an unlicensed premises. So seized the Red Stripe, and obviously you don't steal a man's beer. And it was kicking off for a few minutes.
Hot summer night.
Yeah.
25 years ago was that?
Yeah, 1980.
Must be, yes. 1980. I remember it kicking off in Brixton just after Bam Bam was born.
Right.
That's my older daughter was an occasional overnight.
And what about the future then? What would you do? If you were in charge?
If I was in charge, I'd get the tram.
You get a tram?
Yeah, now that's one of my big bugbears with the council, that how easy is it to get the central government to pay lots of money for a capital project like building a tram network in a city? Well, not very often. Well, the central government decided that they would actually pretty much pay for the entire tram network as long as Bristol City, South Gloucestershire, councils could put their heads together and come up with a tram strategy for Bristol, because it was going to be reaching from South Gloucestershire down into the centre of Bristol. And even though someone else was saying they'll pay for everything, they couldn't manage to come to a sensible decision between the two of them, and so the tram has been kiboshed. And we have to endure First Bus's monopoly on the buses in Bristol.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, with their ridiculous prices, poor service.
Mm. And slightly mad routes as well. I mean, yeah. I'm on the Gloucester Road here. I've lived here for a year now, and I can't believe that I can't get a bus to the train station.
Yeah.
It's like integrated nonsense. It just doesn't exist.
It's First Bus to have a terrible route network. It's a spider network where you have to come from the periphery into the centre and then catch another bus away from the centre to a periphery. So you can't go in an orbital route around the edges of the city. You have to follow into the centre, which is just ridiculous in a city the size of Bristol, one of the top 10 biggest cities in the country.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Asgard the dog obviously agrees. And I'm just also thinking about the future, and we started talking about drugs as well. What would you do, Hammy, what would you do in the drugs laws?
Legalise the lot.
Legalise the lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what are going to be the benefits of that policy?
People have much freer choice about what they do. Most of the bad things about taking drugs seems to me because you've got to go and you've got a situation like where Chris lives,
buying it
in order to buy this stuff. It's good, the carver.
Yeah, the carver, talking of drugs, has just kicked in. It does take 13.45 minutes to take us off. And, I'm feeling very relaxed, and I'll start singing any moment. But it does also generally make me feel less anxious about the future, because I do believe, and Bristol is, again, ahead of the pack here, because we have an amazing charity here called Transform, which is run by a guy called Danny Kushlick.
Yeah.
And he's one of the only people in the country who just stands up in the radio studios, in the papers, again and again and again, and just says, look, prohibition is not working. It is leading to crime. It is leading to gangsters on the streets. It's leading to an army of occupation kind of policing rather than a policing by consent.
Mm.
And, I'd just like to big up Transform. And I'm just wondering, If you were betting people, how long do you think it's going to take for this society to come to its senses and change the drugs laws?
I can't see that realistically happening until the actual political system that decides what we as society are going to be doing is changed, because the system as it is precludes sensible, rational judgments about things. Everything has to be neatly compartmentalised into one specific party policy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that it's never going to happen?
No, I think that we're a sentient race of beasts who have
especially
come
down
so
in
far.
The Wild West.
Yeah, and if we can't, we've come this far in history. I'm sure it won't take that much further to push to get to someone even more sensible.
But
I mean, yeah, prohibition clearly isn't working on the one level, but it is on another, because it's maintaining social divisions between
absolutely
people.
And it's working very well for the government in terms of tax raising legal drugs. And
the other thing that completely freaks me out about looking at America is that sense of they now have privatised prisons to a large extent there, and there is actually quite a prison industry who make money, profit, out of keeping huge numbers of their population in jail for drugs offences.
Mm.
So there's this inbuilt non-existence of a possibility of changing the drugs laws, because people are making hard dollar cash out of it, and that's I really hope that isn't something we import into this
well,
country.
Well, we already are. There are privatised prisons in Britain, and there are companies who base their entire business on servicing these places,
And also drugs testing industry.
Yeah, I mean you have issues that just weren't coming up 10 years ago in Britain, like the idea that an employer will have the right to drug
sniff
test
your
employers. You're doing your urine tests and doing your blood swabs. The ground seems to be shifting. We're having to justify why it's not an employer's right to know what you get up to in your private life.
Yeah.
But
has anyone sniffed your piss recently?
Well, I do live in St. Paul's, so probably. We don't have a great drainage system, but, you know, it's probably better than Brixton.
Right.
Of course. It would be.
It would be better. Not that we've got any chip on our shoulder about being an offshoot of
it's quite nice.
We
Brixton
don't need
community.
To have a chip
Brixton's
on our shoulder after all, because Brixton's great, but we're the best.
It's one of the nicest suburban parts of London I've ever been to.
Yep.
It's very, you know.
Cool.
And Bristol does have a worldwide reputation as the green capital of the world, in that there are more companies doing green things here, there are more ethical banks and things in Bristol. And that was the next thing I wanted to talk about, greenery in general. Looking at the future, are we stuffed? Just recent report on BBC about scientists agreeing we've now used up two-thirds of our resources, and everywhere you look there is environmental degradation stories in the news. So two questions. Are we completely stuffed? Is it going to all go tits up shortly? And what are you doing to stop it, Bristol?
Well, I think I see it as the glass is half full. We're beginning to recognise that to sustain the world we have to make an effort. I mean, there are finite resources. I don't think it's going to be doomsday particularly soon, but as long as we're recognising the direction that we need to move and we start shifting now, then there's a fighting chance that.
Are you shifting?
I try to live as lightly as possible. I don't drive a car. I use public transport. I recycle my paper and metals and plastics where I can. Not that you can do that particularly easy in Bristol. I shop locally. I support my local traders. Especially those that are using local producers for food products.
Do you eat organic?
As much as I can, yeah. I mean, there are the occasional lapses to the supermarket when you're knackered or it's after the neighbourhood shops have shut. But I try and live fairly lightly.
And how many do you shoplift locally?
On the whole, No, I've little bit of a supermarket addiction. I think Griffo called me the queen of the Sainsbury's bog-offs.
Buy one, get one free.
That's right.
And what have you bought recently? Do you have a loyalty card?
Do I have a loyalty card?
How many loyalty cards do you have?
I think I've probably got them to all the supermarkets.
Really?
That doesn't sound very loyal.
Absolutely.
You're
Nora
a loyalty
is going
card.
On and just getting bog-offs and things with yellow stickers on. That's my addiction. I'd be even happier if I didn't, but at least I don't think the supermarkets make much profit out of me.
Right.
What
else do you do that's green? You've got a lovely garden.
Yes, I've got a funny little lovely garden perched on
so
the edge.
So you are
of
personally absorbing quite a lot of the world's CO2.
Well, I was recycling it through rabbits until the other week, and unfortunately we're now rabbitless.
Not yet.
No. She died. Old age.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And poor Beatrice, her consort, managed to get out.
Right. So somewhere your rabbits still exist.
In the stomach of a fox, yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
I would think so. We have friendly foxes. And it's really quite sad. I used to round the rabbits up every night and put them into bed for the night, and they were quite safe. And
rounding them up sounds like you've got a herd of them.
It was lovely. All I really do, just put out rabbit food and all the vegetables left. My kitchen is filling with rotting vegetables now because I haven't got a couple of rabbits to recycle them through. So I'm in a state of transition. Will it be guinea pigs? Will it be goats next?
And you've got a daughter to feed as well?
Yes, two, in fact.
Two daughters?
Two daughters, but only one lives at home. But the one that doesn't live at home, it eats at least as much as the one that does.
And
in terms of green stuff, though, just very briefly, we've had a extra lottery money and somebody going round doing some encouraging people in the flats to recycle in the last few weeks, and we're going to be getting some more recycling bins. And we're working on basically a green idea, a sort of a vision of roof gardens and reed beds and composting and all sorts for the Stab Towers area. Which
Stab Towers, this is your nickname for where you live.
That's right, three high-rise blocks in the centre.
Is there much
Bristol.
Stabbing there?
It gets a bit mucky sometimes on a Sunday morning.
Right. One thing I wanted to ask, you don't have kids, do you, Bristol?
No, no, do you think they'd let me?
No. you wouldn't get the paperwork done. No. But I don't have them either, so you're the only one around this table with kids.
Okay.
So, from the point of view of the future, do you reckon your daughters are going to be raising grandchildren in a world that is happy and greenish, or have you given up on that?
I haven't given up on it, but I've kind of given up thinking about it a lot of the time. About 10, 12 years ago, I did a degree in environmental science up at UWE, which is the other
university
of the West of England.
West of England, yeah.
In Bristol. That was just great. I mean, it was a brilliant time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But came away with some pretty depressing ideas and a sort of sense of a lot of the little bits of recycling and things really aren't what it's about, really aren't worth even the energy involved in recycling them. And that the changes have to be massive.
Bigger changes on
much bigger
the Bristol
changes.
Scale.
On the other hand, I would say socially, being 50 rather than whatever I used to be when I was much more kind of actively political in the sort of campaigning sense, there have been huge changes, I think, in the culture, much bigger than I would have expected. I mean, there's been big shifts.
Positive shifts?
Positive changes.
Right.
On sexism and racism and all the isms. And I know there's sort of been one step forwards, two steps back sometimes, but I was looking at my younger daughter's friends sitting around at a party that she had the other week, and I'm quite used to the girls more or less sitting in a heap with their arms around each other, but I was dead chuffed to see two of the boys sitting quite happily and one had his arm around the other. And these are 14, 15-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the shouting of, oh, that's gay, that is, and all the rest of it, I just have a sense that things are shifting.
Bit of boundary dissolution.
Something like that. Just the way that the kids relate to each other.
So that's a hopeful sign.
Yeah, so I do feel hopeful. When I look at things like that, I think, okay, they're not dealing with the same mess. They're not dealing with some of the problems, the interpersonal stuff, the twiggy influence that I had that meant that myself and all my friends thought we were fat when we weren't and dieted ourselves into a
thin
terrible
monster.
Obesity.
Right.
Well, you know, but diet binge thing that afflicts so many people of my generation. And I know those things do still go on as well, but there's an awareness, it seems to me, that there have been big changes over 30 years.
Do you think your daughters are going to vote?
Well, one is too young, but might well vote later. The other one, when I said something about an anti-capitalist protest some years ago now, said, but I like capitalism. So, you know, you can house their bodies and not their thoughts, as it were.
She's probably rebelling against her radical mum.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, drawing to a close now, I just wanted to ask, is there anything either of you particularly wanted to get off your chest? Anything driving you crazy?
Well, I've got a very phlegmy cough at the moment, but I think I might save that.
Apart from your personal juices?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say to anyone else?
Any millipedes?
A couple of millipedes on the on the chest. Thank you very much indeed to Bristol KRS and Fat Hamster. My name's Piers Gibbon, and that was the first ever Urban 75 broadcast from Bristol.
My name's City Dreams, and I came to Urban 75 because I was looking for a place for information. And Urban 75 is an information network, and yeah, it's a good place to start. You've got to have a go in politics. You've got to have a go at Suburban, because your life's not complete without trying to grow a plant. And you've got to ask a question in general. and at least say hello in the drugs forum.
The future is no longer in your imagination.
Fostering an open forum.
Never heard anything like it before.
Urban 75 Radio.